You know, we got Will trained so well from the Bush Library and Museum. He says, okay, now what kind of weird story have you got for us today? But I thought, because Chief Buskey's here, we're going to talk to him in just a minute, I thought we would give you an example of strange objects that have been used for assault in different parts of the country. Now, where you came from, Kansas, is that right? Is that where you were? Let me see if I got a Kansas story here. Yeah. No, I don't.
That's okay. Close to Nebraska.
It is close to Nebraska.
Yeah, just
I know.
South.
Yeah. Very good. You know your geography.
Thank you very much. I've been through it a few times.
A family argument turned violent in Port Richey, Florida, when a woman took a ceramic toilet lid and swung it at her cousin's head.
All right.
She was just playing ringsies.
She missed the woman, she then pointed a revolver at her cousin.
Got unfunny.
Yeah, exactly. After the arrest, authorities said the woman had kicked out the inside of a police cruiser and smashing the door, too. So,
There's family of the year material right there.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like that's more for the chief. Anyway, so that's all I got for today. What's going on at the library?
Well, first of all, I just want to mention that next Thursday on Thanksgiving, we're going to be closed.
Aren't many days when you are closed.
I was going to say, it's only one of 3 days all year that we're closed. But we will be open again the following day, Black Friday, in case you need a break from your shopping. Regular hours from 9:30 to 5.
Yeah, we always like that, a break from shopping. Anyway, I was out there last week, I guess, to have a look at the red dresses. It's a great exhibit. It really is. And again, we want folks to remember, if you have people coming in for the holidays, this is a great opportunity for them to see what you got going on.
Absolutely. You know, if you're coming in for the holidays, bring in a canned food item for the Food for Families, food drive that's happening over the holidays. From now until December 4th, if you bring in a canned or non-perishable food item, you'll receive $1 off your admission. And even better, if you go shop at the new HEB Tower Point, look on the back of your receipt there after you've bought your canned or non-perishable food item, and you'll have a coupon for another $1 off admission as well.
Good opportunity. So the continuing stuff, and what kind of we got movies coming up, and you're still doing movies?
We have a movie on December the 9th, I believe, and that'll be Miracle on 34th Street. But next big event that we have after Thanksgiving holiday will be the Holidays in the Rotunda event on December the 4th. We'll have singing and dancing. Elvis will make an appearance there. A little Blue Christmas, that's right. And we'll have arts and crafts and refreshments and everything, so we encourage folks to come on out.
Excellent. Okay, and then want some more information, it's all on the website.
It's all on the website, bushlibrary.tamu.edu, and, of course, on Facebook and Twitter at Bush Library.
All right, thank you, sir. Visit thank folks you. In the library on Thursdays on News Talk 1620, WTAW. Chief, slip those headphones on because I'm going to have Tom and Chase join us this morning. Good morning, and thank you for being here this
morning. Good morning, Scott.
Eric Buskey here this morning, the chief of police for Bryan. And we didn't plan it this way, but it's Nebraska week. And I understand that you're a fairly big Nebraska fan.
I am a very big Nebraska fan, lifelong.
Well, favorite sport? Is it football or is it something else?
Nothing else is even close.
Okay. And I guess, now, of course, you're chief of police in Omaha before you came here. So were you able to see a lot of games when you lived up there?
Yeah, I saw a lot of games. I'm a season ticket holder, which is a big deal in Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
Sold out since 1962.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, 310 games now.
Yeah. So, I get the games whenever I could, and I still try to do it a couple times a year anyway. Yeah.
So who's got your tickets now? Who uses those?
My kids share them. I've had an opportunity to be up there once or twice this year, so I've used them a couple times, and my kids use them.
I hate to ask you, but, who are we rooting for here this weekend?
Well, I'm rooting for Nebraska. I have to.
He didn't even know. He didn't even pause. Yeah.
Well, I'd be a pretty disloyal fan if I gave him up after 49 years of being a fan.
Yeah, that's
probably. No, I do like A&M. I've always respected the program, and but this week it's Nebraska I'm rooting for.
Well, you all went through some lean years there right before you left, didn't you?
We noticed the Bill Callahan era.
Yeah. Last time A&M was up there, and A&M didn't have such a great team, but kind of whooped the old Huskers around like a drum.
We're over those dark periods.
You're over that now.
Now, who are you sitting with Saturday?
I'm actually sitting with some family members that are coming down.
Oh, are you? Yeah. Okay. Are you sitting in those lousy Nebraska seats, or did you get better seats?
Well, no, I'm sitting up with my fellow Nebraska fans. I think it's about 30 stories up, it looks like.
Yeah, and, you are. You're a long way from it. Hey, but anyway, well, where are your seats in Lincoln?
They're about 30 stories up, too. So I'm used to that view.
Yeah, I remember the first time I was there years and years ago, and I got there with the football team, and so I was there before the fans actually sit, and that thing is a patchwork quilt. I mean, they have put seats every place that they possibly can in that stadium.
They just expanded again. Yeah. So.
Well, it's kind of fun.
I don't know if you heard the story, Chief, but Coach Pelini kind of getting after those sellout crowds for not making enough noise. Was that a problem when you were there?
Yeah, you know, once in a while. And I think that Kansas game, it was about 30 degrees out, and they moved the game to nighttime. And
So all their hands were in their pockets.
Well, it was kind of a boring game, to be frank.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, again, we don't really have the kind of weather that that they have in Nebraska or up in the Big Ten, and so it'll be fun.
Yeah, it's hard to make noise clapping with earmuffs and and mittens on. Right?
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, we're going to turn to police business then.
Sorry about that.
Anyway, been here since was about August of 2009 when you were named police chief and moved in and took over when?
September 14th was my first day of 2009.
I got you. And we were talking a little bit ahead of time. The number of sworn officers you have here is smaller. The area is smaller. But tell me, what are the different challenges that you have here maybe than what you faced when you were in Omaha?
You know, I think policing is pretty similar in almost any city you're in. Here, the crime rate's actually very similar to that of Omaha per capita, so that's very familiar to me. We have an excellent police department, as we did in Omaha, so I really appreciate that. So I don't think the challenges are really all that different. You know, our goal is always going to be to reduce crime, and particularly focus on violent crime, and I think we've been doing a pretty good job of that.
What's your idea? Obviously, police work is like anything else. There's technology that's always moving forward. That technology is not cheap, especially when it first rolls out. What are the kind of things that you look for to make a decision as to whether or not you can add some sort of technological advance to keep your force moving ahead?
You know, typically, it's been my experience that you don't want to jump on a new, particularly in policing, a new product in its first generation, because almost invariably it gets cheaper and it gets better. So, you know, I kind of like to watch what's out there, and after they've had a couple versions of it and we know it's successful and there's other departments that are starting to use it and had success, then we'll jump on board. An example of that is we're just starting to go to computerized ticket writers. They've been out for a while, but I think that they have gotten it to where they're a really good tool. And, in fact, some of our traffic officers have been using them and really like them. They think that they're very – make them more efficient.
Are there other police chiefs in other cities that you share information with on a regular basis? Give us an idea who they might be and what kind of ideas you can get there.
Well, we routinely, myself and Chief Cap talk all the time, myself and the sheriff. I mean, the area chiefs talk all the time about what's going on. And then obviously, I have some connections and went to the National Academy, FBI National Academy a few years ago. So we'll talk with some of my friends from there. I obviously still talk to my successor at the Omaha Police Department. And there's a network of people I talk to. As I think most chiefs would say, there's a network of people they talk to just to kind of keep up with what's going on, technology and tactics and et cetera.
Now, of the 200 so sworn that you have, how does that fit in as far as numbers are concerned? What should you have, and how far up or down are we at the Bryan PD?
Well, we're at 134 sworn officers. I mean, we could keep more busy, and we're looking forward to next year. We just got a COPS grant. We're going to be able to add four officers, which is going to help us. But, I mean, I think we have, like I said, we could always keep more officers busy, but I think we have enough officers to help keep our citizens safe.
Talk to me a little bit about the reserve officer program so people can understand that.
Reserve officers are very dedicated people. They have a full commission. They receive full training just like any other police officer, but they work for free. And so they're very, very dedicated people. They're out there. They really help us a lot on special events, First Friday, things like that. They're out there. Their presence. They help with parades. They're just a really good group of guys that just want to give back to their community.
You know, unfortunately, most people interact with a police officer when either they've done something wrong or something bad has happened to them, so they don't necessarily get caught in their best situation. Your guys and gals have to be ready to deal with all sorts of situations every time they get out of the patrol car or answer a call. What kind of training, what kind of ongoing education might there be when it comes to latitude and discretion? Because obviously there has to be some out there, and each officer needs to make those choices.
Well, officers continually go through in-service training and talk about how to deal with people and how to talk with people. I mean, the other thing we believe in doing is maximizing the number of positive contacts, getting out and talking to the community when it's not that crisis situation and just having that conversation. But, you know, as far as tactics and being ready, I mean, our officers go through training more than every year. I mean, routinely go through training to make sure that they do know the best tactics and are going to operate in the safest way.
I saw this week that Houston has actually started to do something the city of Bryan did, and that was put together a safety zone, civil injunctions to keep gang members from encroaching in areas. Tell me a little bit about the genesis of that in Bryan, if you would.
Well, really, you know, it started before I was here, but it really started with Corey Crenshaw, who was an assistant district attorney in Bill Turner's office, and a couple of Bryan police officers, A.C. Scholar and Mike Canasi, had read about a successful program. I believe it was Wichita Falls in Texas. I'm not 100% sure on that. And started working towards that. And earlier this year, we were able to get our first injunctions in place. And, you know, so far, we like the results. We think it helps make the community safer. And, you know, we look forward to doing it in the future, too, doing more in the future.
Good. Thanks for your time. This is Eric Buskey. He's the chief of police in Bryan. We're going to start visiting with the chiefs of police of Bryan and College Station once a month just to kind of keep up to speed and know what you guys and gals want us to be doing. All right? Thanks
all
a
right.
lot.
Thanks, Scott.
You bet. We visit those chiefs then on every other month at News Talk 1620 WTAW.